Thank you, Lauren. You know, Peter makes a statement. He says, well, Jesus made a statement. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And then Peter said, it's like when you go back, it's like going back the dog to the vomit and the sow to the mud. You know, the devil entices you. It's so much better back then. Everything was so good and so wonderful. When you get there, it's vomit or mud. The Lord put it to me. It's kind of like the children of Israel going back. I remember years ago when we were in the gym with Joe and Helen Sproul. I remember having a word of prophecy. I was on the praise and worship team, and I remember being up there, and I guess it's the first time I ever had anything. And one, I remember this part of the word. Why are you looking back there for? There's nothing there. The horse and the rider were overthrown in the sea and dead on the seashore. There's nothing back there. Why are you wishing and mourning and for something that's no longer there? See, that's the devil's tactic. We're going to start the teaching this morning. It's 10:31:21. This is the Lord's day. Thank you. Satan doesn't get a day. How about that? No day belongs to him, only the Lord. He made every one of them. This is our Learning to Flow in the Supernatural series, but the title of this is Overcomers.
Overcomers.
Which is kind of fitting with what the song that Danny's sang. I am going to look at the foundational scriptures first, then we'll get into the crux of this portion. Matthew chapter 7. Something else as I was praying this morning before the broadcast, the Lord says, you absolutely have to act like what you are believing for. You have to act like you believe it's already done and act accordingly. If you don't, you're going to be down all the time. Because you're focusing on it ain't here yet, ain't here yet, it's not here yet, it's not here yet. No, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. See, that's that fake news. But when you pray or when you agree or when you speak to the mountain, when was it done? Then, that moment. It was really done before that, but that's when you got in agreement with God that it was already done. So, because you can say, well, Lord, how am I going to do that? I don't know if I can do that. The Lord says, just get up and act like you can. Take that mindset that you can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength, for greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Whatever the devil throws at you, greater is he's in you, right? So this will propel you forward. And before you know it, the grace will kick in and you get it done and you think, wow, that was easy. It's all about your attitude. It's all about which master you're going to choose. It's all about, do you believe what God says in his word, or do you believe what the devil says in your ear every minute of every day, it seems like sometimes? Are you basing everything on what you see in the natural realm, or are you basing stuff on what God's word says you have? Because you know what? The earth was restored because God spoke what he meditated on, and he saw it, and he spoke it, and it happened. We're made in his likeness and image to do the very same thing. You can dwell on the bad and how bad it is, or how am I going to do this, or what if this, or what if that. The devil's great at that. Well, you know. You can't do that. I'll give you a little example. It may seem silly, but through all the midst of all the propaganda, of all the shortages and all the stuff, and the Grinch that stole Christmas, Biden stole Christmas, all this crap that is just coming down the pipeline, it's been my confession several times a day, wherever we go, whatever we need, we will have a full supply. We'll be like Isaac, sowed in the time of famine, and he had a 100-fold return in the same year. Wherever he dug, he found water. Even though the Philistines come and took it away from him, they finally come to a place where they were even supplied, and they left him alone, and he was able to have peace on his land. That happened this week. Went to the little Dollar General down here, and they had breakfast bowls. I thought, woo! That's a little thing. But you can believe and you can side in with all the evil that you see in your life right now. You can just side right in with it. Just go ahead. But you're going to get what you side in with. But on the other hand, if you believe God, his full supply, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're always the winner, never the loser. Then what will happen? You'll get just what you say. So be careful to not let the devil take you to the vomit and to the mud. Because there ain't nothing back there. He never comes through. He promises you the world, but he aims to kill you and take you out. Jesus wants us to have life in that more abundantly. He wants us to live forever with him and rule and reign with him. Sounds like a better deal. Okay. Matthew 7. It's that old stinking thinking. The Lord brought that song up to me, traditional thinking, it's a really stinking. It is. It stinks. All right. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. They're thinking on the right thing here. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which builds a house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I mean, when you go to listen to people today, they're all over the place. Most of them are negative. That's why there's so few to listen to anymore. There's a couple that I can actually listen to that I don't feel them pull me down. They're always encouraging. It's always positive. We're winning. That type of thing. That's who you need to listen to. So that means you'll never listen to the devil, right? They don't mean to be negative. It's just they have gotten into that. I don't know if some people get off on, we're all going down. Apocalyptic, cryptic stuff, like in some movie. All right, Matthew 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when we follow God's word right here, look what happens. We are overcomers. We can bind the devil.
Not like how the devil's doing.
All this stuff that we lived in for so many years because we just didn't know any better, that we didn't have to live that way. Thank God. Thank God he's brought us out. Because most people I know, they haven't been brought out. It's sad. And they don't want to. That's what I don't understand. Just like children of Israel. Oh, they had meat and cucumbers. They forgot that they had broken backs and felt the lash every day. They forgot there was mud and there was vomit. Ephesians 2. Isn't it funny how you go through, live somewhere and you just, it's just a pit, just live in the pit. But you leave there and you get the wishing that you could go back there, that it was so much better then. I thought, you know, no, it wasn't. It wasn't better. In fact, it was hell on earth. But the devil will try to convince you, yeah, it was so much better back then. Yeah. We'd rather die under the lash than follow you in this wilderness. We're walking through a wilderness, y'all. But in that wilderness is a full supply. That's what you call the walk of faith. You're believing God. All right, 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Why did God let them go through the wilderness and everything? Because they weren't fit coming out. God had to take them long ways around so they could learn to listen to him because he wanted to bless them. Okay, Ephesians 4. They had stinking thinking. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all, far above all heavens, so that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You'll look back on this time and think, man, I didn't think I was going to make it. But on the other side of it, you're probably going to be teaching those that are coming out. This is the way to go. This is the walk of faith. This is the way of the kingdom. Because there's so many, they don't have a clue. All right, Psalms 133. You'll think, man, I just didn't know if I was going to make it, but God always came through. Always. God is not a loser. He doesn't make losers. Only winners. But you have to trust him. Do you trust him? Mm-hmm. All right. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God wants his body united and all anointed and flowing as one. I would like to say to you this morning that what we do for the Lord has a reward. He has said in the scriptures that as we overcome, we will be rewarded. We do not do this for nothing. Jesus said that he overcame and therefore gave us the ability and power to also overcome. What good is it if we are overcome? This has never been God's plan. God never fails, therefore neither does his children. Let's look at what the Word of God has to say about this. My aim is to build you up this morning, to make you feel like you can go out this door and be overcome or whatever situation you find yourself in. John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He already put the devil at bay for us. We just have to enforce it. We have to do what he did. Okay, Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Right here, that's good. The way to not be overcome with evil is to do good. I like the way the Amplified puts this scripture. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. To master something is to be at the top of your field, like a President Trump is a master chess player. So we master evil with good. What's good? Overturning the works of the devil, that's good. Yeah. All right, Matthew 7:13-14. Every time you hear somebody say anything about lack, shortage, anything that would keep you from having a full supply, you do not let that get past you. You speak that thing right there and shut that sorry devil up. I mean it. We have to be radical. We cannot let this stuff, this false narrative circulate, not in our presence of us. It's got to be stopped. So don't let it get past you. And if you're listening to somebody and they start spouting that stuff, you just start speaking back to it. I remember one time years ago, it was Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland. She was talking about people are afraid to listen to the news. And Gloria said, because they don't know how to listen to the news. She sits and talks back. No, it ain't going to be the way you say. I say it's going to be this way. And she's the one that spoke to that storm in Florida and it jumped right over them and went on somewhere else. We better start believing in what we have in us. It's Jesus in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Quit letting the devil beat you down. Say it ends today. I have drawn a line in the sand and there's no going back. Never again, ever. There's nothing there but vomit and mud. I hope you never forget that when you start thinking these ways. Who would want to go back to vomit and mud? No one. Whatever pipe dream has been given to you, it's a lie. How, oh, the good old days. You know, you get to looking back and all the lies that's been told and all the false narratives that have been presented. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, all them good old days we thought were the good old days, they really weren't good old days, were they? The devil was just as at work in them as on us. Okay, let's keep going. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I like it too. This is out of the Amplified. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction, and many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. It's like a baby coming through the birth canal. Pretty traumatic for the baby too. They're being squeezed, pushed out. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. We're pushing through all of the pressure and all the stuff. Most choose the broad path. There's probably benches on that path. Probably a water fountain, you know, trees, flowers. It's just, you know, it can rest peaceful for a time. Enticing. No, I know it feels like you're on a conveyor belt. I always remember Edward Scissorhands and that conveyor belt and all these little things coming out on the conveyor belt and doing this. It's like you're on this conveyor belt and the devil's just grabbing at you and pestering you and tormenting you and all that kind of stuff. But it leads a way to life. Through much tribulation, Peter said, do we enter the kingdom of God? Okay, let's keep going. I got several scriptures. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't even let that come out of your lips. Luke 4. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 1, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, this couldn't be God. God couldn't be in this. It's so horrible. It says the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. These are training exercises, y'all. You wouldn't be saying that if you were in the military. You'd say, yes, sir, Sergeant, sir. Wouldn't you? Being 40 days tempted of the devil. Boy, somebody must have had a real fit this week. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. But that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There's a whole lot of movie stars that have already been executed that are waiting at their appointment at the spa to be sentenced to death for what they have chosen. Not just movie stars, elites, political figures, military generals. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. If our Lord and Master had to go through this, to go through what he had to go through, we also have to be trained for what God has called us to do, that we'd be strong and we not back out. We need leaders in the body of Christ today. There are very few. There are very few. And so, We got to do it right. We got to get it right. All right. 1 John 5. Is that right? I don't think so. Yeah, it is. 1 John 5. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to quit going through and putting up with Satan's spook house. You know, you go through a spook house and it scares, you know, I always hated spook houses because they like to do things to make you jump and scream and all those kind of things. But the thing is, it's all fake. I remember watching Last Man Standing, his little grandson, it was a little school spook house, and he went through it and he saw, I don't know what he saw, but he ran out of there screaming. Well, the next day, his grandfather took him down there and turned the lights on and they walked all through it. Said, see, there isn't anything to it. See, when the light turns on, everything is viewed in such a different perspective. That's the light of the God's Word. It lightens the darkness. Okay, let's keep going here. Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said that. And of all people that could tell us about that, it would be Paul. All right, Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou the chastening of the Lord, and are faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Yeah. Who are the witnesses here? I believe they're the witnesses in the Faith Hall of Fame that are listed. The different ones that said, go read it this week. By faith, this one did this and this one did that. By faith, by faith, by faith. These are the ones that really probably submitted to God's training and chastening. So many go do it their own way and how they think, the ways of men. But God chose these for special assignments. And they overcame. All right. The Word of God is the light that shines on and exposes the darkness. 1 Timothy 6:12. We have to understand that the Heavenly Father and Jesus, His Son, the Holy Spirit, the angels, they are overseeing everything that's going on with us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I was talking to Danny earlier in the week. I said, I guess the way you can get it off of you for a season would be just quit. Probably wouldn't have any more of the junk you've been dealing with, but then you'd always have that knowing something's not right. I'm not right. I'm not where I need to be. It's kind of like you walk out of the frying pan into the fire. All right, John 1, 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Man, that is so true today. You try to tell people something, try to bring the light to them, and they just throw up their whatever. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, they had their chance. That's all I got to say about that. I believe the witnesses are watching us run our way, run our race, and win our race, like in Olympic Games. They're cheering us on. You can do it. Yes, you can do it. I know it's hard, but pick yourself up and do it. Keep going. Don't give up. All right, 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 5, 5. Well, let's do 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, I want to read to you a little bit from C. Peter Wagner's Confronting the Powers. Because we are going through what we're going through is because we're confronting the powers. We're challenging. Instead of just being complacent, just letting the world go to hell in a handbasket like it's been going on for thousands of years, we are challenging the narrative. We are saying, no, not on our watch. And we're challenging the powers. Even Jesus did not refute with the devil that he had ownership of it. Illegal, but ownership of it by what he did, tricking Adam. What the Spirit is saying to the churches. Most committed Christians have a desire to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This well-known phrase is repeated 7 times in the book of Revelation. I've even taught on it a few weeks ago. This well-known phrase is repeated 7 times in the book of Revelation, and each of the 7 epistles to the churches of Asia Minor found in Revelation 2 and 3. Let's tune into what I believe is one of the most crucial things the Spirit is saying in our times. Almost all the words coming directly from Jesus are found in the 4 Gospels, but not all. The most extensive passage containing Jesus' words outside the Gospels are these 2 chapters in Revelation. The letters to the 7 churches were written by the first and the last, one of them like the Son of Man and the Alpha and the Omega. I stress this because these epistles gave us an excellent starting place for understanding that Jesus actually commissions us to engage in strategic spiritual warfare. He'll lead us to speak over things if we're open to it. I remember many years ago, way back before we knew anything about the Word of Faith, I remember writing down a vision. I think it was for ministry. This had to be 20 plus years ago. And I remember I gave it to Danny and we were going to pray. And he said, the Lord spoke to him about it that, man, we're on track here. We're finally getting something right here. We start getting about it, his business and getting on to his things. Because most Christians, they're just my needs, my needs, my needs, my needs. That's their whole prayer life. That's their whole life. Is getting what they need met. His words here are no less valid for those of us who desire to obey him than those words we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Besides the phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, The only other action-like expression in all seven epistles is the concept of overcoming. Take, for example, the letter to the church in Philadelphia. The only one of the seven churches, incidentally, to which Jesus had nothing negative to say. This was the church of brotherly love. The church was doing several good things. The church had kept Jesus' word and had not denied his name, and he kept his command to persevere. In other words, don't give up. Jesus said the church in Philadelphia should do two things. Hold fast. Jesus said, hold fast what you have. He was in all probability referring to those three good things they had been doing. Holding fast is an expression that starts in the present and looks back. What they had been doing right in the past should be continued. Tradition has its positive values that deserve to be maintained. Number two is to overcome. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Unlike holding fast to the good of the past, overcoming places the focus on the present toward the future. Believers should overcome now and continue to overcome as time goes on. The significance of overcoming as a mandate for strategic level spiritual warfare has been largely overlooked by biblical scholars, so I take some time to explain how I believe it relates. No, it's no different than saying a bunch of illegals show up at your door. What are you going to do? Call Ghostbusters? No. You're going to defend your castle. It should be no different because we have had an onslaught of demonic activity coming at us, trying to take away our rights and take away our freedoms. All right, rewards for overcoming. Not only does the word overcome appear in each of the seven epistles to the churches, but in every case a promise to those who take it seriously is attached as well. The following are the promises to the overcomers in the seven churches. Ephesus, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Smyrna, he who overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. I like that one. Pergamos, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Thyatira, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Sardis, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Philadelphia, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Laodicea, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. Just think about it. The ones that have disdained you, not listened to you, think you're a kook, wouldn't have anything to do with you, forgot you, forsake you, you're going to rule over them. They'll now listen to you. God will place you in the authority. They'll listen to you if they ain't dead. Just think about that. Keep in mind that these instructions to overcome are made by Jesus after his death on the cross and after the resurrection. They therefore imply that church members in any age can and should play a crucial role in fulfilling the purposes of God in the world. Because of the weight Jesus apparently gives to overcoming, it is important for those of us who desire to be faithful to know as accurately as possible what Jesus means by the term. There is no other Christian but an overcoming Christian. We have thought, well, you know, some of them, they just have more something or another than we do. No. We've all been given the measure of faith. The Greek word niko, or nikeo, the Greek word for overcome is nikeo, which means to conquer. It is a warfare term commonly used by the Greek people. It is not unusual, for example, for Greek parents to name a son Nicholas, implying that the boy will be a winner. A popular brand of athletic shoes called Nike, designed to send the advertising message that those who wear Nike shoes will win the game. In the New Testament, nikeo often carries a more specific meaning. The Dictionary of New Testament Theology, edited by Colin Brown, says, New Testament usage of the word group almost always presupposes the conflict between God or Christ and opposing demonic powers. In the New Testament, therefore, overcoming is not just winning warfare in general, but also winning spiritual warfare. Seven times in the book of Revelation, the risen Christ tells his people by using the word Nikao that he wants them engaged in spiritual warfare. If they choose to obey him, they can expect to receive substantial rewards from the master. Although the word Nikao and its derivatives are used another 17 times in the New Testament outside of what we have just seen from Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus himself is recorded as using it only twice more. Jesus defeats the prince of this world. Almost all Christians have taken comfort in Jesus' well-known words, "I've overcome, Nikao, the world." That's John 16, 33. When he came to earth, Jesus invaded the kingdom of Satan, whom he called the ruler of this world. You can see John 12, 31, 14, 30, and 16, 11. Jesus emerged the clear winner. He is a prototype of the overcomer. The cross of Christ sealed forever the fate of the devil and the host of hell. As I've stressed several times, we go into spiritual warfare with no question in our minds about who wins the war. You got to go in with it knowing you're the winner. Nothing could be more of a comfort and an assurance to those of us following in the footsteps of Jesus. This, however, is not to be interpreted as meaning that the war has ended. Far from it. If the war had ended somehow, terminated by Jesus' victory on the cross, Jesus' repeated commands to us, his followers, to overcome would have little meaning. On the contrary, if we live our lives today as active and aggressive Christians, we will find ourselves in constant warfare. Many years after Jesus died on the cross, Paul referred to Satan as the god of this age, using strong terminology that should keep believers in any age from false complacency. The only other time Jesus uses Nikao in the New Testament is Luke 11, 21 and 22, when he speaks of overcoming the strong man. This is a key text for understanding the concept that Jesus commissions us to do, strategic level spiritual warfare, so it will be worthwhile spending whatever time is necessary to explain the passage thoroughly and accurately. Overcoming the strong man, Luke chapter 11 is a chapter about demons, beginning with verse 14, where Jesus cast a demon out of a mute man and the man speaks. Carefully observing Jesus is a group of Pharisees. The Pharisees are not identified as such in Luke's account, but we learn who they are from the parallel passage in Matthew. See Matthew 12, 24. These Pharisees, Jesus' enemies, were following him around and trying to accumulate evidence on which to accuse and arrest him. When they saw and heard the mute man speak for the first time in his life, there was no question in their minds or in the minds of anyone else watching that Jesus had ministered in extraordinary power. The question the Pharisees raised, a legitimate question, incidentally, was, where did he get this power? The Pharisees' answer was a logical conclusion from their particular perspective. They knew they had witnessed supernatural power, but they did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. So they automatically ruled out the possibility of that power being the power of God. The alternative hypothesis would be that the power came from the invisible world of darkness, so they attributed the healing to the power of Beelzebub. Notice what the Pharisees did. The event began with ground-level spiritual warfare, namely Jesus casting out a demon out of a person by mentioning Beelzebub. However, the Pharisees escalated the scenario to strategic-level spiritual warfare. If you want to read Luke chapter 11, when he cast out the demons out of the man. Sounds like the religious folk, doesn't it? They're going to try to discredit anything that we try to do in Jesus' name. All right. Wouldn't you consider this overcoming, casting demons out of people? I do. Anytime we kick Satan off our land, we have overcome. Isn't that what this is about? This is what we've been doing all these many years, kicking the devil out. Okay. Let's keep going here. All right, Luke chapter 19. That was Luke 11. This is Luke 19. Verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Sounds like socialism, doesn't it? For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and for him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. If this isn't the reckoning after the when he comes, I don't know what is. They're going to miss a reward. Now, I've got some scriptures here, and if you want, just listen, because I'll flip through here and read them very fast, because I wrote down quite a few. All right, I'm going to look at 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. You know what? The way we'll be honored is a lot more than any man could ever honor. It won't just be honor for a moment. It'll be honor from now on. All right, Matthew 24:46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler of all his goods. You know, it doesn't really make any difference. I was talking to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, it doesn't matter to me if I ever have any fame or fortune or any recognition. It does not matter to me. What matters to me is I do what you told me to do, that I get it done and I'm a success at it. I don't care about that other. In fact, I think all of that's coming down. I think the time of the small house churches are going to be more of a big thing than institutions. That's where the problem, that's where the swamp started. Same with big government, big religious institutions. God's not in it most for the most part. All right, Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yeah. It's not our responsibility. We just bring the gospel, take it or not, lump it or leave it. We just move on. 2 Peter 3. I think that's why the Lord said, don't try to convince people anymore. 2 Peter 3, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. No, it ain't the time. It ain't time. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, The one day is as with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me see where I... Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Kind of sounds like it kind of locates when he comes. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of, in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, therefore beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, we just have to keep on keeping on. Revelation 16:15. Beloved, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they shall see his shame. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Nobody's going to get away with nothing. I think I'm going to stop there. See, we all get a reward. I have quite a few more. In fact, I may even save that for Wednesday night. Pick up on that. Okay. All right.